the Fortress of Comic News, episode 225. I am one of your hosts, Chris, alongside the returning international businessman, Mike.
Yes, I'm here for an episode and then gone for another episode and then back for another episode. I'm here when I physically can be. By the gods themselves, I've been granted good internet here in Europe for one weekend only. And it's crazy, man. I don't know. I know nothing of Europe, and I'm very ignorant to all the things that happen in Italy, but I'm staying at this hotel it's like a normal Marriott, but there's only one in like every major city in Italy. There's like a Marriott in Milan, there's a Marriott in Turin where I am. And so like I'm like, oh, this is great. This is like such a nice upgrade from where I'm staying at during the week. And I was like, can I get a room here next weekend? And the price is like tripled, like ridiculous amount of money for a room here. And apparently there's like some truffle festival going on for the next like 2 months in Europe. And not like chocolate truffles, like mushroom truffles.
Yeah.
And like people freak out about it. They just like come from all over the world to just like eat truffles. I don't know.
Did you ever watch Brew Brothers?
No, I didn't.
Okay, so you got time on your hands. You would enjoy, yeah, Brew Brothers. It only lasted one season on Netflix because Netflix hates everything good.
Yep.
But it's a comedy about this guy who starts a brewery, and his brother comes along, and he's like kind of a beer snob and blah, blah, blah. But one of the things is the main character spent time in Belgium with monks.
Oh.
And so he comes back, he starts a Belgium brewery, and that's the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And his brother wants to create a beer with truffles. Oh. And he has an old monk friend that smuggles truffles across the border in a very uncomfortable place, like the back of Volkswagen.
Yeah. that's highly illegal.
It's a funny show, though. I think you'd enjoy it.
Yeah. I will say there are some comic shops in this city that I'm in. I haven't really done much exploring. People are still kind of like standoffish to U.S. tourists, so
can't blame them.
Yeah, I mean, I had like there's a place we go for lunch right next to the plant I'm working at, and the lady like misunderstood me that I said, like, she asked me if I had my green pass in Europe, which is like your vaccine card, and I said like yes, and I was like, she was like, oh no, and she like pointed around the corner, and they had this like little seating area that was like walled off from everybody because she thought I like wasn't vaccinated. She was going to put me in like the back alleyway. And I was like, no, I'm just going to go eat outside. It's fine. And like, she like immediately was like, okay, get away from us.
you filthy American.
Yeah. So I kind of just like, I go sit outside at places that I eat where there's outside, or I get like delivery to my hotel room. Because you know, things are still kind of strange as of lately. So,
yeah. So you said you're going to France, right? Next week, 2 weeks from now.
So I'm in Italy for one more week for 7 days. And then, I go to Switzerland for a couple days, and then I finish, 7 days in France.
Because yep. I've heard through the grapevine that France actually has a very strong comics community. Especially, yeah, like they love manga.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, and from what I've seen in Quebec, French speaking Quebec, I've seen some French comics in Canada. So, hopefully, I could discover something when I'm there. It'd be nice. Yeah.
It'd be cool under a more normal circumstance to go there and look around, like,
yeah,
immerse yourself into the comics community there.
The crazy part is, you know, there's movie theaters all around me here in Italy, and like Dune is playing. I'm pretty sure James Bond's playing already. And I'm like, I don't think they have English showings. I was like, do I really just want to sit in an Italian James Bond movie?
I was actually thinking, because I'm so off the, it's been a crazy like month and a half, but I know Dune is out soon.
Yeah,
it might be out now. But I know James Bond's out, and I was like, I think tomorrow, because those are two movies I really wanted to go to the theater to see. And I was like, I think tomorrow I might go to the theaters, like old man time, you know, like noon.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, just by yourself, you know, relax, get the theater to yourself. That's nice. You know, you got to cherish those moments.
Yeah, because I want to, obviously, I'm a big Bond fan, and Dune's up there, one of those like books that I read when I was younger that was very influential. So I'm like, I need to see if this movie's good.
Yeah. And I think the initial reactions were pretty good.
Everybody's been talking great things about it. So,
you know, it's like the calm before the storm because the DC fandom is coming up.
Oh, God, don't mind me.
Honestly, they really just need like the Jersey Shore cast to be the sponsors of DC fandom, like DJ Pauly D or something, like as your host. But I think that's coming in next week, another week maybe.
Yeah, I thought it was the 25th, so I think we're 2 weeks out.
Yeah, they're starting to release some little tidbits here and there. So,
which, by the way, everybody, we have an interview today.
Oh, yes. Sorry. We always do this. Chris and I don't see each other for a while. Megan Huang is on the show today. She's been working with a lot of different publishers for really cool variant covers. She also has her own book that she writes and draws called Rangers of the Divide for Dark Horse. So, yeah, we'll be semi-professional here and try to plug her stuff. Yeah, so stick around for that. But Chris and I, you know, when we don't see each other, like we see each other every other week, we got to catch up here. So
yeah,
see what's going on. I mean, I guess we could just jump into the little bit of news there is. I actually, because I have a lot of free time, I've been watching stuff. Well,
can I tell one more little anecdote that I wanted to tell you?
Oh, yeah, sure.
You know that? Have you seen that commercial? I think it's for Progressive with I can't remember the name of the rap group, but it's the Scoop. There it is.
Oh yeah, yes, yep.
So I've been having that song stuck in my head for weeks now.
Mm-hmm.
And I disclose this to friends because you should be able to trust your friends, but I forget that my friends are assholes. And so everybody's found these memes now of these guys. Mm-hmm. Going around, so now like every other day I'm getting memes of this, so the song gets restuck in my head. So after that for a week, I was telling our local comic shop about it.
Bad idea. And
I was like, yes, and I told them exactly what I told you. And literally that night, which was last night, I get home and I sit down and I look at my phone, and it's the meme of the girl laying there. Go, he's probably thinking about other women or something like that. And it's him with the song going through his head. And I was just like,
yeah.
Why do all my friends hate me?
Oh, that's awesome. They wouldn't be your friends unless they did shit like that, though. That's what makes them good friends, right?
Yes. That's how you know that you have real friends.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm repping the boys in blue here. The Red Sox are in the playoffs, game number 3 tonight. I might get to check out some of it tonight. I think the last couple games have been at like 2 or 3 a.m. for me, so not really working out. I will say, okay, the best thing about being here, though, for the next 3 weeks, the Dota International Tournament had just started. The biggest tournament every year, $40 million prize pool.
Okay.
The group stages where they, you know, try to figure out who's going to play in what bracket is this week, and the next week's the main tournament. It's all in my time zone. So, like, 9 to 5 are Dota matches, where it's like, if I was in the U.S. right now, I'd be waking up at 2 a.m. to watch these matches. So, there is a little silver lining to being out here. So I'm just, you can better believe I've just been sitting in my hotel room this weekend watching Dota. And I wouldn't have it any other way.
You got to find the bright spot, right?
Yep. I was like, if the Dota tournament wasn't on this weekend, I don't know what I've done. Probably just kept reading comics.
Well, I was just happy to see, welcome to Sportscast, everybody. I was just happy to see that the Red Sox beat the Yankees, because when the Yankees lose, we all win.
Yeah, I'm the very silent and humble fan, unless you talk shit to me to my face, and then the Red Sox win, and there's no coming back, then I will talk shit to you because you just were gloating the whole time.
Longtime fans will know the wrath of Mike making me read My Little Pony for a full year.
Yes. Never forget. If anybody's a new fan, that was quite a few years ago now, Chris.
Yeah.
But yeah, Chris lost a bet and was made to read My Little Pony on his poll list for a full year.
So
you could probably find those episodes.
I don't know if I ever told you, but I sold all those.
Oh.
And then one day I was going through my comics and I found like one that I missed when I was selling them. And I was just like, God damn it. Why is this in my life?
Someone bought those from you?
Oh, yeah. I put them on like Mercari or something, like the lot of them for like 10 bucks. I'm like, just get them out of my life.
And someone bought them?
Yeah. Someone with a kid, probably, you know, daughter maybe. You hope.
Someone with a kid, you hope.
Maybe. I mean,
might have had a Brody. Brodies exist in the wild, yes.
One of those things that confuses me about life, but to each their own.
Yep. So many things. All right, we'll talk about this little stuff that we have here. I want to talk about, I watched Red Son Superman on HBO finally.
Oh, nice.
If you read the comic, this is pretty much the story. The animation's really good. And it's cool to see the Red Son on an animated screen. But I thought it was really enjoyable for the hour and a half. And you know how we talk about these DC animated stuff. It was just more good stuff from them. And they do a really good job. They treat the properties very well. And I'm sure Mark Miller got a fat check for that.
Just what he needed.
Yeah, another fat check. Fast 9. I don't know what... I don't even ask me the name of this one. I don't know what the name was. Fast 9, the Fast Saga or something like that. But I love these movies. I've talked about the Fast and Furious movies. I absolutely love them. The quote that I took away from the movie... So they do a lot of like Vin Diesel's origin, and apparently he had a brother when he was younger. They really tie everything together because, like, in the first movie, they talk about Vin Diesel going to jail for like beating a dude with a wrench, or like within an inch of his life. And this, we find out, is because his father dies and he blames it on the racer that, you know, kills him or was there when he died, and that's the dude he beats in the head of the wrench. So it took 9 movies to find out. Man, did it pay off? And then the brother that is you know, part of this whole thing is actually John Cena. So no wonder we couldn't see him for 8 movies. But
he was there the whole time.
He was there the whole time. We never saw him. The best part, though, is like there's a quote that Vin Diesel's father in the movie tells him before he goes up in a fiery inferno in his car. Is that he says, you don't need to be the stronger man, you need to be the bigger man. And I was like, I don't. So does that mean lift weights or lift more weights? I don't know. Obviously, he's being, you know, metaphorically bigger man. But have you seen Vin Diesel and have you seen John Cena? Because I think they both took that literally.
They lift all the weights.
It really brings home the whole like familia thing that, you know, Vin Diesel drives home with all these movies. I will keep watching these movies as long as they make them. And also my favorite character, Han, comes back. The only way they explain that is Kurt Russell is really good at making people disappear, is pretty much what he says.
What car did Vin Diesel fly into space?
It wasn't Vin Diesel, it was Ludacris and Tyrese. Yeah. So they pretty much that was another thing. They drive a car into fucking space and they make these spacesuits held together with duct tape. And yeah.
Sure. Experiment in the spacesuit with the two black guys. I see how it is, Fast and Furious.
Yeah. They're really on the nose there. But they they made it out okay. I think the funniest part about this is Tyrese the whole time talks about, he's like, don't you guys think it's weird that we're kind of invincible. Like, we never die. He was like, I just killed, because there's a scene where he, like, grabs a gun from an, like, they fight this, like, militia in I don't know, somewhere in the jungle. And he gets, like, trapped in this hole in the ground, and he shoots, like, 20 guys with a machine gun, and they shoot at him, and none of the bullets, like, hit him. And he, and, like, the whole movie, he's like, don't you guys think it's weird that we just survive everything? Like, trying to hint that they're, like, superheroes, and they're like, dude, you're an idiot. Like, and, like, I was like, wow, they're really just driving this home.
I like that they're self-aware.
Oh, yeah. I just love these movies. Okay, so the little bit of news that we have, James Gunn said in a Twitter post, after Guardians 3, he has another DC project in the works. I hope so, and I hope it's more Suicide Squad, right?
Yeah. Suicide Squad.
Or King
Shark. Gold.
Booster and... Oh.
JLI.
Justice League International, yep.
There's a bunch I would love to see him do, but I would assume it's just more Suicide Squad.
Honestly, like, give him a Justice League Dark movie, but treat it like the Scooby-Doo movie he did. That's what I want.
I forgot he did the Scooby-Doo
movie. Dude, the Scooby-Doo movie's so good! How could you forget? I watched that recently, and it still holds up. Yeah. That man earned his paycheck.
I think... if there's any hope, maybe hope's the wrong word, but there's anything left of wanting to do like a connected universe, James Gunn's the guy that you center everything around.
Yep.
So I definitely think you get him on board. And he said after Guardians 3 was the end of what he wanted to do with Guardians. So, he gets to do what he wants to do in Marvel. Cool. There's Marvel stuff I'd love to see him do, but if this is what he wants to do is go over to DC and make good DC movies, I want some good DC movies, so let's do it.
More of that. More of that, please. So that's good news to me. Studio 8 Films has announced that they have casted their lead role for the adaptation of Rob Liefeld's Prophet. If anybody forgets, Studio 8 is the gentleman from Bad Idea.
That's Dinesh?
I can't remember. Don't quote me on that. I can't remember what his... I thought it was Studio 8. But either way, Rob Liefeld's Prophet comic book. Jake Gyllenhaal will play the main character of John Prophet, who, for those who don't know, is a Captain America-style super soldier created by Germans near the end of World War II. So, Captain Germany, pretty much.
Yeah, the only... excuse me. The only prophet I ever read was Graham something. I forget his name, but it's when they kind of... when Liefeld came back to Image and they're revamping all this stuff. Do you remember that, like, years ago? It was around New 52 era.
Yeah, and then he got it dropped off again.
Yeah, because he's Rob Liefeld and he's a crazy idiot.
Well, I wasn't gonna go there, but yeah.
Oh no, I'm fine saying I don't like the man.
No, he's a jerk for sure.
So I read that because I liked the artist who has since turned out to be an asshole as well. But it was okay. But they completely revamped it to where, like, he was in a post-apocalyptic universe, but he still had his super soldier serum and everything. So I'm like, I like the premise. Obviously, super soldiers are going to get me every time. I mean, Captain America.
Right.
But what I find interesting here is Jake Gyllenhaal resurrecting his career. Like, he did Spider-Man, because before that, you didn't hear him much. And then he's like, he's Mysterio, and we all shat on it, and then it turned out to be awesome. And I feel like we hear his name like every 2 seconds again. So
did you watch Nightcrawler?
No.
Watch Nightcrawler and tell me that his career was over. That movie, I think, won so many awards and it's fucking insane. But
I don't think his career was over. I just think he was on kind of a downswing where like he was really big and then like we didn't hear about him much. And then Spider-Man came, we're all like, oh shit, Jake Gyllenhaal. And now I hear his name for like big projects again.
Yeah, certainly starring in your own superhero universe as the main character is a pretty big deal. Did he do that boxing movie? Because he's going to have to get ripped again, right? To be a super soldier?
Oh, yeah.
Was that him in that boxing? I never watched it. He was like a UFC fighter or something? Where he was like bald and ripped? I don't think that was him. I'll have to look it up after. All right, TV, what are you watching?
Sorry, I don't think Dinesh is a part of Studio 8, but...
Oh, okay.
Football, Seinfeld.
Oh, yeah, Seinfeld's on Netflix now. That's a pretty big deal.
I feel bad. I'm behind on What If. The big thing got spoiled for me. Although I don't think it was that. I think it was pretty obvious what they were doing.
There's a big reveal?
Yeah, all the different characters from the different stories coming together to create the Guardians of the Multiverse.
Oh.
So I'm a few episodes behind on that. And what's the other show that's out right now?
Why the Last Man?
Still haven't watched that.
You haven't watched any of it?
No.
Okay.
Oh, Star Wars Visions. I haven't watched any of that either.
Oh, yeah.
I just have not had time to watch the stuff.
I will say, okay, Why the Last Man? I'm on episode 5. I think there's another episode. Yeah, what's today? Sunday? I can't remember what day it is lately. Because time is weird. But
well, yeah, you are in the future.
Yeah. Yeah, so we had Flash break the time stream for us so I could do the podcast at a later date. But Why the Last Man's really good. That's all I have to say. Like, if you like the comic, you're gonna like this, and it's been, you know, brought into this new era and timeline in the world that we're in today. And I did start watching What If. I got to the Chadwick Boseman episode, got really sad, and I think I'm taking a break from What If right now. But another fantastic, I mean, I remember, I think you started off saying episode 1 with Peggy Carter as Captain America was like an okay episode.
Yeah.
I've just loved every episode. I think they're a lot of fun. They have a lot of heart. I think they should just make a thousand of these episodes. Why shouldn't they? I mean, they could really just keep making them. There hasn't been one that I really have liked more than, I mean, the Chadwick Boseman one was awesome. And like, just the flex of running the intro of names at the beginning of each episode of like, yeah, we got these actors to come back and do the voices, like Kurt Russell, you know, Chadwick Boseman. It was his last thing before he passed. Like, you know, Scarlett Johansson, Robert Downey Jr. They're just like, yeah, no big deal. And it's just so fun. It's so much fun to hear their voices. I was really surprised by Benicio del Toro coming back as the Collector.
Yeah.
Super jacked Collector, by the way. He looked like a JoJo's Bizarre Adventure character. Anybody knows that from the anime? That was kind of strange. But either way, it's been a lot of fun.
So you want to get a little bit more depressed. There's a report that came out that said that this whole season, so they're going to keep doing What If. That was always the plan. Mm-hmm. But this season, when it culminated in that Guardians of the Multiverse thing with T'Challa Star-Lord being the head guy, they were going to do a spin-off show that was T'Challa Star-Lord and the Guardians of the Multiverse.
Oh, man.
But now they're not going to do it because of Boseman's passing.
Yeah, I mean, that would have been so good. He was so good. And that character was awesome. I mean, like, he took the Star-Lord and made him Robin Hood. That was pretty awesome. What a crazy little change of the character that was. So, yeah, overall, it's been fantastic. And then another show I've been watching, I think I mentioned it, Only Murders in the Building. It's a Hulu original.
Okay.
Steve Martin is the funniest man alive. And Martin Short. And Selena Gomez. I know I've never really seen Selena act in anything, but she's, you can read it about it. She's been killing it with this show. I think there's a couple episodes left. Basically, the premise, I wanted to mention it because it's like Clue, but these people are just, the reason they come together is because they're murder podcast fans. So there's a murder in their building and they start a murder podcast about it. And each of them are their own characters. Like Steve Martin's this retired cop from television. Selena Gomez kind of has her own secret past. And then Martin Short is like a failed Broadway director. So it's pretty fantastic. And all the tropes and like all the things about like the type of people that love murder. I mean, everybody loves murder, a good murder podcast, but it's just so much fun how they poke fun at that whole community and themselves. And it makes for a really good dark comedy because, I mean, there's murders happening, but it's a lot of fun. You would love it. You would definitely love it. There's a scene that happened recently with Steve Martin, and I can't remember there's an actress that plays his like girlfriend in the apartment building, and they have like a date at home and they're playing Scrabble, and they start doing like spelling out like dirty words in the Scrabble, and like every time Steve Martin like spells a dirty word, he like makes like a face, and he's just like, he's so expressive and hilarious without saying anything at all that it's just like this. Oh man, it made me want to go back and watch The Jerk, if you've ever seen that with him.
Oh yeah,
classic movie. He's such a funny guy, so I highly recommend it. Yeah. So with that, no further ado, let's jump to this awesome interview with Megan Huang, and we shall see everybody on the other side.
All right, everybody. We once again have a very special guest for you all. I want you everybody to welcome to the show Megan Huang. Welcome, Megan.
Hi, it's nice to be here.
Yeah, thanks for being here. And, you know, technical difficulties aside, we're going to get the interview done finally. But for our first time guests, we do like to do a little bit of an origin story. What got you into drawing and writing comics? So let's just start there. Where did it all really begin for you?
I think it was The Walking Dead, which I honestly did not know was a comic series until I remember I was in high school and my friend was like, "Oh, you watched The Walking Dead?" And I was like, "Yeah." And she was like, "You know, it's based on a comic series." And I was like, "What?" And she was like, "Yeah, I have some copies that you can read them." And I was like, "Oh, okay." So that I read them, and from there, like, you know, I even though I had liked, you know, the Batman animated series, like Batman Beyond,
the good
before,
stuff.
Before, like, I started to read the comics, so Justice League and a lot of DC stuff, not a lot of Marvel stuff, and then yeah, so this is basically all thanks to The Walking Dead, like, which I did not know was a comic. At all. So it's super weird for me, but yeah.
Happy. It's funny.
Actually, that's not that weird because we have a friend who owns a comic shop, and that Walking Dead comic, when that show was coming out, was like gold for like five, 6 years.
It like reignited the industry, I think. Yeah. It was such a big deal. And I think that's what got me into it was, I think I was, got me back into it after like the 90s, but I was watching The Walking Dead and someone was like, "Oh yeah, this show is great, but have you read the comic?" And my friend had like a bunch of old comics stuffed under his bed, and I think he had a number one at some point, but it was like rolled up like a magazine somewhere in the corner of his room, and he never found it. But yeah, and then the New 52 happened, and that's what really got me back into it. So from there, did you have any art background? Were you graphic design or something like that, or?
I was in an art high school, so my high school had majors, so like there was music major, art major, drama major, dance major, and then there was like the normal people, but I was an art major, so I did that, and then I went to Sheridan College. But I only like lasted for a couple years there because I wanted to actually work in the industry, not just like have all these like just projects or something that I didn't get paid for.
Right,
I don't like to get paid. So I you know, left, and then I jumped right into comics, and it's been going pretty well. So it's always just been, I guess, comics after school. So
what was like your first big break then? Was it doing a variant cover or?
My first big break was actually for Action Lab, which they're not so hot on like Twitter lately. I did some color work for a series of theirs, Double Jumpers, and
I remember that one.
Yeah, it was my first. It was like Arc 2, and it was my first comic gig / coloring gig. And I don't really typically color things, except, I mean, I recently colored a Star Wars story, but that's because it's like Star Wars. So, I mean, anything outside of it, I'd be like, I don't know. I don't really want to do the colors. But, so that was the first biggish project for me that kind of, I feel like, snowballed into like this growing career that I hope will just keep growing and not just plateau.
Yeah, I mean, you already have a few publishers under your belt, but like, I don't know if, Chris, I don't know if we've ever talked to someone that's done colors before. I mean, besides with the art, but like doing colors for the first time, how was that? Did you have like a lot of direction to like, okay, this is the palette that you can use, or you kind of have your own like, you know, free kind of landscape to do whatever you want?
I think it was pretty free from what I remember. It was a while ago, but I think they were pretty good with the colors I made or produced or whatever. And, there wasn't, I don't recall there being a lot of like notes. It was just a very chill project, and I appreciated that. I think it was, it definitely didn't like kind of steer me away from working in comics, which is great because I enjoy it. And if it had gone poorly, maybe I would have been doing something else. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's always good for a first time experience. So you've worked with a few different publishers like IDW. You talked about Action Labs, and now Dark Horse. You have your own comic that you've written and drawn for them, right? So what's that, Rangers of the Divide?
Yeah.
So tell us about that.
Yeah, it follows a group of rangers as they travel through wildlands in order to stop an unknown enemy, which is kind of partially revealed at the end of the first arc. So it's not... Yeah, so it's not a huge mystery. Okay. Still a mystery, but it's not a huge mystery. It's a fantasy sci-fi kind of book, and it has dragons, and I love dragons, so I just wanted to do a book with dragons. I think that was like the whole reason I actually like made the book, because I wanted to do something with dragons. Which I've always wanted to do, and I feel like now that I've got that out of the way, like I can move on with my life after I did the dragon story.
So you went to Dark Horse with this idea. You're like, I want to do sci-fi dragons. Let's do it. Did you send in a pitch for that?
Yeah, I did. I made sure like the pitch was like, I mean, I wouldn't say it was really good. I don't want to toot my own horn or anything, but like,
it was pretty good.
I think it was like to the, it was done to the best of my ability. So at least I knew I did my best. And so I sent it in, like a full pitch, and luckily it was accepted with the help of, my editor, who was really enthusiastic about, getting the project going. So that was great.
Was that your first time doing a script?
Technically, no. There was a project for Action Lab that I actually got the rights back to recently because of all this stuff. But yeah, like that one obviously didn't get produced. And I think this was my first like book that actually came out that I wrote. So I mean, whichever way you want to look at it, really. But yeah, I enjoy writing the book for sure. It's really fun. it's work, but it's like fun work. So I enjoy it.
How does that work when you're doing the art and the writing? Do you do the script first and then you're like, oh shit, that's going to be too hard to draw. Maybe I should change that. Or do you kind of like storyboard and do like, oh, okay, maybe I can write a story around what's happening here.
Well, I remember for another comic series that I had nothing to do with, but it's called Glow for Image by Rick Remender. And frick, I can't remember the artist, but it's very good. And I remember they did some art like beforehand. Like the artist showed him like the like his ideas, and then the Rick built a story around it. I remember reading that. But that's, I mean, which is cool, but I don't think I could ever do that. Like, so I definitely am doing the script first. And then I go ahead and like change it later, like you said, not because the panels are too difficult, but because maybe it just doesn't work for the story, or like I forget why I wrote it and it doesn't make any sense anymore. Which is kind of, that happens a lot for me, where I'm writing something and then I look back on it later, I'm like, I have no idea what this means or what this relates to. I have to ask my editor sometimes. I'm like, what does this mean? Do you know why I wrote this? And she's like, I'm not sure. And I'm like, okay. Yeah. Aww. So I do my best when it comes to that, but yeah, not fun.
Yeah.
Do you find it more fun or more creatively, whatever I'm trying to say, but more fun to write for yourself as opposed to do stuff with a writer?
I think that's a definite yes. No offense to the writers out there. I do enjoy working with writers and stuff, but I feel like I kind of like to be in control without sounding too, you know, like a control, too much like a control freak. I like to plan out everything and know my own vision so that I don't have to like go back and forth with someone about like, will this work? No. Will this work? No. And then like sometimes like my vision definitely gets changed or like rewritten by the writer. So like, and then I have to, depending on the type of contract, like the type of contract I've signed, like the writer can like take control, and I just am a machine to produce their ideas with, you know? So I definitely like doing both if possible. But I mean, I do enjoy working with writers too. It's not like it's super terrible by any means.
So this is a book that you've done, what, 4 issues now, and do you plan to do more?
Yes, I've finished scripting the next arc, which is also 4 issues, and I just need to edit the last one. I think my editor hasn't sent it to me yet to edit it, but I think after that, yeah, then I'll start the art, and yeah, it's going to hopefully be maybe 3 or 4 arcs, so this would be the second arc. Awesome. Coming up. Yeah.
So, yeah, go ahead, Chris.
I was gonna say, have you hammered down whether it's going to be a new number one or are you just going to continue the numbering forward?
Right. That's a good question. it will be a new number one, just because I think for single issues, they found, at least at Dark Horse, that it sells better when it's like a new number one, kind of they re-kind of start it from number one because people are more inclined to buy it. I'll definitely try to make it so that new readers can jump in a little bit easier, but I'm sure there will still be some things that you'll have to read the first arc to really, really understand. The story will continue from where I left off in issue four. Yeah.
So is there anything you can talk about coming out soon other than that? Or if not, like, are there some other ideas besides like dragons in a sci-fi world you'd like to do besides that?
Other than Rangers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you said there, you always wanted to do dragons. Like,
sorry, could you repeat that?
You said you always wanted to do dragons. Like, that was one thing you always wanted to write about or do a book about. So, like, what would be your next project that you'd want to do something about?
Right. I mean, I have a few ideas. So, I remember one was based on a Dragon's Den pitch that I saw that I absolutely loved, but it did not get funded by the dragons. Yeah, it was about like models, like supermodels who they put on an island or something, and then they force them to like, not force them to, they sign up for it, but like they fight, they learn martial arts and they fight each other, and then they like have feuds and stuff. I thought that was hilarious and like kind of epic, and I definitely wanted to do a story like around that kind of concept.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
I definitely am going to try to get that one made if possible. Yeah.
That sounds awesome. It's like Zoolander, but kung fu style.
Yeah, basically.
That's amazing. That's the book I didn't know I wanted.
I know. I didn't know I wanted it either until I saw that episode.
Awesome. Yeah, so for our listeners and our viewers, if they want to get into Rangers of the Divide, is it available online? Do you have a website we can send people to, or?
It's probably easiest to send them to the Dark Horse website, where they have all the information, and you can purchase from the site directly, or, you know, over Comixology or at your local comic shop. I don't really have my own dedicated site for it.
Yeah, and I do see it on the Dark Horse website right now. So, yep, it's up there. The first four issues are available. And if our listeners want to follow you, like, on social media and see all the cool ideas that you're drawing up and stuff, where can we send them?
So to @Megan HUANG5. So I am the same username on Twitter and Instagram, and I'm on Facebook too, but it's, I don't know, like there's so many Megan Huang, so it might be hard to find. Just like look up Megan Huang Dark Horse or something.
Yeah.
And then maybe my Facebook page will show up.
Okay.
But yeah. That's about all the social medias now.
Okay.
Yeah, and everybody, I'll have the link to Megan's Twitter page down below, as well to links to check out Rangers of the Divide in the show notes. So click on those to find her and all of her work available.
Yeah.
Megan, thanks so much for being on.
Yeah.
And hopefully we can talk to you again sometime.
Yeah, thanks, Megan.
And we're back.
Hello. We're on the other side. Check Megan out. She's done a lot of crazy cool stuff. If you haven't read her work, then you might have come across one of the cool variant covers that she's done. Some really interesting art that she's doing. So check it out. For the comic book news this week, there might have been more comic book news out there, but there's really only one thing that matters, in my opinion. That is the return, announced by Mr. Brian K. Vaughan himself during New York Comic Con this weekend, because it did happen this weekend. Saga is finally returning January 26th, 2022, with a double sized issue. Hallelujah. Double sized issue for $2.99.
Yeah.
So, it's issue 55, the longest cliffhanger in comic books history. I think he said the second story arc, so I'm guessing he's going to wrap this all up with like issue 100 or something.
I get the feeling from, because I didn't watch his interview, I read it, but I get the feeling this is like act two.
Mm-hmm.
So I almost wonder if he has, because I mean, it doesn't work out perfectly, but I almost wonder if he has like 50 issue acts that he's going for.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, it's the best comic out. It's one that you can hand to non-comic fans and they adore.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it needs to come back. I know Brian, you're making a lot of money on those TV things, but you need to stop wasting your life and do more Saga. So,
and I can't imagine, I mean, one day Saga, I mean, it's just like Why the Last Man. It's going to be a television show.
Yeah. It'll be an HBO. It'll be the next Game of Thrones on HBO.
Well, they're doing a prequel to Game of Thrones, but after that, it'll be the next game.
Yeah. You notice nobody's talking about it because the original show sucked.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, I've asked people, I'm like, hey, there's, you know, this new prequel Game of Thrones show. They're like, yeah, whatever. I'm like, all right. I saw some dragons.
I saw people who love Game of Thrones who were so burnt out by that finale. They're just like, oh, okay, more? Yeah, whatever.
I don't think you need to do this. If you're bringing me a Lord of the Rings TV show, I don't need the Game of Thrones prequel. I just need the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Especially when George R. R. Martin himself, you know, says Tolkien is like his biggest influence.
If you're writing fantasy and you try to claim that Tolkien doesn't have an influence on you, you're just factually wrong.
You're just wrong. It's just wrong. Yep. No.
The Saga, like I said, it's one of my favorite comics, and I'm just I'm so happy when I read that. I was sitting around with a buddy, and he looked at me and he goes, Saga's coming back in January. And I go, shut the fuck up. don't play with my emotions like this.
This is not.
I looked it up, and I was like, holy crap.
It was some comic book news that a friend shared with me, surprisingly. I was supposed to be the comic book news guy, but interestingly enough, whenever I go to search anything from my laptop here, it all comes up in Italian. So, go figure.
One world language, everybody.
Yeah.
You know how in D&D you have basic? We need to come up with basic.
Basic. Yeah, just grunting. Grunting and pointing. We could go back to that. Okay, so I've read some comics. I'm sure you have read some comics. Let's see what comics I've read. Okay, I just want to say really quick, I finally read the first volume of Second Coming. Fantastic.
Yes.
I also have gotten the Only Begotten Son Second Coming issues. Got to read those. I have Edgar Allan Poe's Snifter of Terror Volume 1. That is the Ahoy Comics. I haven't read it yet, but I have it in my possession. Okay, so just issues that I've read. I honestly don't know what weeks they've come out because it's all blending together. Superman, Son of Kal-El, number 3. This is the Tom Taylor Superboy story. It's good shit. If you haven't heard by now, we really like Tom Taylor. This is a very nice story about Superman's leaving Earth. Superboy has seen the future because he was part of the Legion of Superheroes, and he's like entrusting the Earth to Superboy, and Superboy is like, you know, I can't save everybody all the time, kind of the same conflicts that Superman has really faced. And I think it's a really touching story. Tom Taylor is absolutely killing it, and everything else he does. Batman Reptilian took a weird turn. Have you read the latest issue of that?
No. Was that issue 3 or 4?
Four.
Four. No, I have not read 4.
So, basically, you know, Killer Croc is, like, chilling in the sewers, and Batman pretty much explains to him that, like, this creature that's going around killing everybody, Killer Croc is its mother. Either Killer Croc is female, or can, I don't know the term, change sex organs, like hermaphrodite, is that it?
I don't think that's the correct.
Okay.
But I know what you're saying. Gender fluid is what you're looking for.
Yeah, but there's certain species that can like change their sex organs depending on like what situation they're in. I forget what animals can do that. But either way, that's the explanation. This thing is Killer Croc's pet, and it like starts licking Killer Croc in the face, and that's how the issue ends. So really, really weird shit is happening now. It took a strange turn, but I'm interested. I want to see where this is going. Either way, fantastic artwork by Liam Sharp drawing these monsters. Deathstroke Incorporated. Oh,
sorry, you were right. Jesus.
Hermaphrodite.
Hermaphroditism.
Yep.
Is the
yeah.
Although I like how this article puts it as reproductive flexibility.
Nice. That's a superpower. that's a double entendre. I don't know if they realize that. But,
so I'm sorry. I thought hermaphrodite was when you had both, when you were born with both.
Yeah, I couldn't remember.
But I was correct.
Did you read Deathstroke Incorporated #1?
No, I had no interest in that.
It was fun. I mean, he's like capturing villains for a villain or some shit like that. I don't know. I turned my brain off and I read that one. Justice League. I don't know. Like, Justice League. Are you reading Justice League?
As I said last time, you read Justice League. I'm way behind on it.
Okay. Bendis is trying to do something with like Checkmate and all this other shit. I've kind of just like, knowing that Bendis is like leaving at some point, I don't know where he's trying to go with all these characters. He really loves this Checkmate group that I just have no interest in them at all. But I do have an interest in what?
It sounds to me, because I read the first issue of what the hell is it? Leviathan Checkmate?
Yeah.
It sounds to me like those two are going together more than we thought. Because yeah, Checkmate's really like right at the center of that story too.
And I really didn't care for Leviathan after that first run, so like, but I told you I like the Justice League Dark by Ram V. This is just like a big battle with Merlin, and then he summons the Upside Down Man, which is a pretty bad baddie. Batman Superman, this was awesome. Did you read this issue? This is yes. number 22.
This is a bittersweet issue.
Mixaplix and Calendar Man. Basically, Mixaplix saying that like you have the ability to alter the universe and like breaks the fourth wall, and like you have Calendar Man like breaking out of comic book panels and like beating up on Superman and Batman. It was a really fantastic issue.
Yeah, the way Mixaplix gave him the ability to basically see the future and told him that his entire universe is segmented into little boxes, comic panels, and that's how he's able to do it. And I loved it. Gene Luen Yang is finding weird, fun ways to play with comics in this series, And that's why I say it's sad that it's going away, because this was the last issue. And I hope he does that in something else he's doing.
And it says the adventures of Batman and Superman continue in the Batman-Superman Authority Special soon. So I don't know what that means, but he's going to give that series to Grant Morrison, and it's going to be weird. Berserker number 5, this is that book with Keanu Reeves where he's like some barbarian from the past. It's good. You find out more about his past and where he came from, and I don't know, he's discovering his past. He's pretty, I don't know, like, they like flash back and forth between like him being in like a cryogenic chamber or like in a battlefield because he keeps getting regenerated. I don't really know what's happening. I need to like stop or reread these issues because I think I'm just messed up with the timeline. I don't mind time jumps, but like, can you give me like, you know, a certain hours or days ahead or something? I don't know if I'm missing something there. The new Batman book, the Sphere State shit's still going on. It might be over soon, hopefully. Swamp Thing number 8, this fucking book, man. I cannot say enough good things about Ram V doing Swamp Thing. Mike Perkins' art, fantastic. This is Swamp Thing versus I can't remember the cancer villain. That he's just a bunch of like toxic waste. So Swamp Thing beats him, and then they send in Parasite. Swamp Thing fights Parasite, and they kind of like trade places with each other's minds and see each other's origins, which is kind of crazy. And then Swamp Thing's brother shows up. That's like he's tied to nature somehow, but he's not part of the green. So he's part of the red. It seems like. And then the issue ends with a fight with, the guy with the metal helmet in Suicide Squad. I cannot think of his name. Peacekeeper.
Oh, yeah.
And basically they're fighting, and Swamp Thing says, I pulled the thing out of your brain, the thing that's in your neck. Like, if you want to keep fighting, that's fine, but, like, you don't have a reason to fight me anymore. And then basically this guy that's watching all of this happen sees that Amanda Waller has failed. Mr. Pilgrim, his name is. So he's noticed that Amanda Waller couldn't capture Swamp Thing, and so I think they're sending in to get Swamp Thing Levi's girlfriend to try to like make him turn himself in. It's an awesome book. And I can't do it justice with describing like all the amazing, like crazy things that are happening in this book. But that's all I had. And then the last book I read, last but not least, was the fantastic We Have Demons by Snyder and Capullo. This almost reminds me of Dark Knight's Metal a little bit. What Scott Snyder does here is he creates a connection between heaven and hell and science, like religion and science, that they're kind of like, there's some rootings between both of them. There's demons on the earth. There's also people that have these weapons that are imbued with some type of like heaven or faith. And they've been, you know, put on the earth to fight these demons. And that's the story. There's 3 chapters. It's about this girl whose father gets killed in battle. And he has a partner that's this awesome, crazy designed-looking demon that Capullo draws, and is probably the best thing I've ever seen him draw. And that's kind of where we start off in this issue. She's going to become the new monster or demon hunter. Really good. Really gory. Almost reminds me of Evil Dead with how much the demons swear and stuff. Fantastic first issue. It's really cool. It's worth getting Comixology once a month just for that. So check it out.
Yeah. We're in Scott-tober. We're going to get a new book every week.
I know.
Awesome. You didn't read Crossover?
I did read Crossover. Number what?
8.
Yes. Did I? Yeah, I did. I feel like I read it a while ago. Did it come out a while ago?
It came out last week. So we're I'm a week off. Talk about it. But first the catch up. So for the video people, this was what they put for time on Crossover, and it made me laugh.
Yeah, that was I did read it.
And it's literally just page after page of things that happened last one. But this was really just so we go back to that guy who was able to predict the future through drawing comic panels.
Yep.
And finding out like how things went wrong in his prediction. We get a funny little moment of like, sorry about that whole Chip Zdarsky thing. and then the characters from the end of the Chip Zdarsky issue pop up, the two characters from Powers, and they end up arresting the kid who was part of like the religious cult. I really liked it. The ending, who the kid ends up meeting, was really cool. It's a great series. I keep being blown away by it, and super excited to continue reading it. Dark Ages number 2. We're in kind of the post-apocalyptic universe that we created, but what I like is Tom Taylor immediately jumped in and said, this isn't like a normal post-apocalyptic universe. Like, people are actually happy and living, thriving and doing all these things. What we find out is that Apocalypse was in the background in Europe, creating this paradise for him that he's going to take over the world with. And he ends up kidnapping Tony Stark to try to help him and brainwashing him using the Purple Man. Love what he's doing. Love this alternate universe. That's a great book. Thor number 17 was the wrap up to this like mini story he's doing with his with the Odinson family, and it was really good. It ends with Cap calling Thor and being like, "Hey, somebody stole Mjolnir, and you should come back here." And that's going to lead into the next story, which also leads into the recurring dream that Thor's having about Thanos stealing the hammer and putting the Infinity Stones on it. So that's really good. Moon Knight number 3 was good. We got kind of the full introduction of the second Moon Knight character who's trying to kill our Moon Knight, and continuation. I really like it. It's not like the most groundbreaking comic ever, but I like Moon Knight, and I like what Jed's doing with kind of bringing him back to basics and all that. Inferno number 1, the last Hickman X-Men book, and it's huge, everybody. It's got to be at least a triple-sized issue. The best way to wrap it up is he's creating all these new plot things to go forward with, and at the end of the day, it's just kind of talking about how Moira X told them that there's certain things they can't do, and one of them was to bring back Destiny, which was Mystique's wife. And throughout this whole X-Men thing, Mystique's been really kind of complaining, like, why can't we bring my wife back? What the hell's going on? And nobody would tell her. Well, apparently she went behind everybody's back and brought Destiny back. And as soon as Destiny comes back, it's supposed to trigger something that leads to the end of mutantdom. So that's the basics of it. There's a lot more going on in this, but we could do a whole hour-long podcast on what happened in this fucking book. So I won't do that. And then the last one I read was United States Captain America number 4. And we kind of figure out what their end game is. The villains here are trying to get Hatemonger out of prison. And there's some really funny moments in here where like Sam looks at Cap and goes, "Does anybody ever tell you that your entire life is just the Godwin's law made real?" And anyone doesn't know Godwin's law is the idea that if a conversation goes on long enough, it's going to involve Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a really funny moment. But then we get to this moment where Hatemonger is let loose. And Sin tells them, like, Red Skull started to change hearts and minds, but what we need is a real leader, and what better for a Nazi movement than the clone of Adolf Hitler?
Makes sense.
It's a really good book. I really enjoy it. It's sad that Cantwell's not doing more with Cap after this, because it's been the most I've been enjoying Cap in a long time. But that's all I got. So, Mike, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me at Fortress Ricker on Twitter. Where can they find you and or the show?
They can find me at Fortress Chris on Twitter, and they can find the show at Fortress Comics _ on Twitter or at FortressComicNews.com. Remember, everybody, to give us the reviews on Apple iTunes or whatever podcatcher you use, and I need to read up on it, but I know Spotify has a new rating system, so do that as well. And if you're watching us on the YouTube, to like, subscribe, share, comment down below on the video. We always appreciate it. And if you want to go the extra mile, patreon.com/FortressComics. So I want to thank you all so much for listening this week. Mike will be back in 2 weeks, but I'll be here next week with a couple of interviews for you. So look forward to those.
Nice.
Bye, everybody.